Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. Yes, yes. I love that Black Rob intro because today, folks, is like, whoa, with the show that we're going to do. All right, this is TA of TA Scouting Scoop, always giving you the legit football recruiting scoop in the Central Texas area anytime we're blogging or live on the air. Tonight we have a very, very serious topic, and I may get into my feelings a little bit tonight, but I have a very special guest who's probably going to give the same type of amounts of feelings for this particular show as to this topic, but we're going to talk about today's recruiting mentality. Today's recruiting mentality is basically both the positive and negative mentalities with parents and student athletes during the football recruiting process. All right, I'd like to welcome to the show future All-Stars owner, president, and CDO, Greg Patchett. Greg, how you doing this
evening? How you doing? I'm doing good,
hey man,
TA. Thank you very much.
Oh, not a problem, not a problem, man. Definitely appreciate you coming on the show tonight, taking time out of your business schedule because I know, again, you put all your soul, your heart and soul into helping those youth continue to be exposed, continue to get better by training them and all that other good stuff just as well as I love making sure I put these kids' names out there as well. Well, anyways, like I said, Greg, we're not going to take we got an hour-long show tonight, and I know some of our parents out there that are listening, some of them are wanting to see what our President of the United States is talking about tonight. But, hey, this is important for what you and I are dealing with. So, you know, but there is a great topic that is coming on tonight. But we're going to talk about what we do. All right, first and foremost. You know, Greg, since we're dealing with the student athletes all the time, grades is always a topic. And by the way, but before we get into the nitty gritty, I think I speak on behalf of myself and also Greg, by you parents out there that wholeheartedly, morally support the grind that we're on. Any of the not so good or negative talks tonight is not about you. Okay, are you in agreement with that, Greg?
And wholeheartedly, just like whenever you and I first met and we said, let's just agree on one thing, it's okay to disagree. Don't think that we're talking about your child at all.
All right. So anyway, like I said, but anyway, we go back to talking about the grades because that's the most important issue out of all things. Grades comes to the surface first and foremost as it relates to recruiting. Now, personally, Greg, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm getting tired of sounding like a broken record, but I love it so much, this recruiting game, that I have to keep doing it, talking to these prospects, parents and prospects, about the importance of keeping those grades up. Okay, so basically we come across a lot of student athletes every year that just, and this is what makes me get tired of sounding like a broken record, that just they just don't seem to get it, man. They just don't seem to get it on why it is important to keep those grades up, take those SATs and ACTs regularly. So what are some of the things that you encounter, you know, again, when dealing with such a headache?
Ooh-wee. When I first started my recruiting program, it truly was for the underdog, the kid who needed a little bit more oomph or a little bit more someone to mentor them in the classroom. As of lately, within the last year, with all of the different standards changing with the NCAA, kids needing more credits in one subject over another subject, the sliding scale for D1 as opposed to D2, parents are letting their kids just run wild with their own education, meaning poor court, but they don't call the academic counselor and check and make sure if my child is on pace to graduate. A lot of kids might be on pace to graduate, but are they on pace to get into that school that you just shelled out $300 to go to a combine for? The last weekend itself, I've had two Division II schools that will remain nameless that have offered Central Texas athletes. These athletes brag and boast about having a 2.6 or 2.7 from their previous institution, not knowing that all grades and all reports go to your permanent address, which is your mama, your grandma, your daddy's house. So when their parents get those GPAs, those permanent GPAs that say 1.6 or 1.7 or 1.8, the kid is like, I thought I had a 2.7, but because before I left. That's where we need to start. We need to start making sure before we leave any campus what our final GPA is, so that we won't have to be calling and wasting long-distance money and Western Union money to get for a kid who is under a 2.0. Because if you don't have a 2.0, you can't accept that scholarship.
Exactly. One thing that I want to piggyback off of, based on what you just said, okay, I did a camp for all skill positions in May, and I did a all-lineman camp last month in June.
Yeah.
And one thing I told those prospects, all of the prospects and parents that were independent, hey, make sure you go to school on Monday, because I have camp on Saturday. This next Monday when you go to school, ask your counselor or registrar for a copy of your unofficial transcript. Now, the last I checked, unofficial transcripts were free to print out. Okay, so
free.
It doesn't cost you any money. How hard is it? I mean, it's almost like it's kryptonite, man, for a lot of student athletes just to go to the school and just ask that simple question. I mean, you're supposed to know your grade point average just like the back of your hand. Every time I talk to a new student athlete that I come in contact with, hey, okay, well, what's your grade point average? That's one of the first questions I ask. Oh, well, my grades are good. Okay, well, what's your grade point average? I don't know. Okay, well, do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Go to school tomorrow, get a copy of the unofficial transcript from your counselor, and make sure you keep that on you at all times. I mean, go and put it in the file folder, so anytime you're right there at home and some, a scout like myself or Greg Patchett or even if a college coach may call you, you'll know the answer to that question by heart. You'll have the proof of that. You have the proof of that answer as well. So, again, that's one of the headaches I am definitely getting tired of experiencing when it comes to working with these student athletes because, you know, again, we're trying to help you get your name out there. Why are you making it tougher for us to do that? And, again, those are things that I'm trying to get further and further away from as time passes. So, again, more people are going to think that, hey, that TA, man, he just a mean dude. You know, he don't like no TA don't like dealing with shiftless. Okay, so
it's the difference between mean and the difference between real. And
yeah, exactly.
I don't know about you and how many times you felt this, but in the last 2 weeks, I'm starting to figure out that when these boys put their clearinghouse information or these girls put their clearinghouse information in one time, it's just like a resume or it's just like a document. You have to go and revise that all the time. I had a young man from Maynard High School that was about to get an offer from a Division I AA school. They looked in his NCAA clearinghouse and saw all of his old stuff from his junior year because he had not went in and updated his senior test scores, his senior curriculum, his senior ACT and SAT. And when the staff from Savannah State was calling me, telling me, Coach, he's only got 3 language arts classes. I said, no, look at his clearinghouse. He looked in there and he said, oh, I haven't updated all of my test scores. So he rode his bike up to Maynard High School so that assistant principal on staff could help him update his clearinghouse. Since he updated his clearinghouse, he now has a preferred walk-on for Savannah State, just off of going from a qualifier to a qualifier. So parents, please, don't just have your child update their huddle list. Make sure they update their clearinghouse because every D1 lives and dies. If they're not eligible in the clearinghouse, they go no further.
Exactly. Wow. Whew. All right. Now that we talked about grades, let's go to the next topic. And this kind of a 2-in-1 part topic. All right. Unrealistic expectations and from coming from parents and student athletes, and for the student athletes and parents thinking that the student athletes is bigger than what they actually are athletically. I'm gonna tell you something. Years ago, back when I used to work with families individually, just like you, like what you're doing yourself, Greg, I had a parent of a high school quarterback, backup quarterback, mind you, that had the audacity, the unmitigated gall to question why I wasn't promoting his son to Division I schools. And I said, sir, are you serious when you're asking that question? You do realize your son is the backup quarterback that rarely gets playing time, correct? Well, he didn't like the answer to that question, but, hey, that's his. Genuine as it can be, that is factual as it can be. Make a long story short, the kid signed to a Division II school. I mean, he was blessed. I mean, the kid was happened to be about 6'2 and a half or whatever. Still had a strong arm, so we found a D2 program for this kid to be able to sign to. And the kid, of course, you know, he took the offer. Thank God for that. Well, on signing day, I chose to attend the kid signing and the young man signing, and you know, his father started talking about how, I got a cousin that coached at Louisiana Tech, and he said they would have took him, but they never got a tape. So I guess you call himself trying to put me on Front Street. And he had a homeboy that was with him. You know, anytime it's a recruiting game, I don't know, Greg, and you're going to get your chance to talk. When you come across, you know, families who may not be in the know, there's always that family member, close friend of the family that don't know what the heck they're talking about. Okay, they probably never set foot on the college campus and never has dealt with the recruiting game before. Okay, well, his friend go call himself saying, well, hey, man, you know, hey, if you don't like it there, you know, transfer, you know, to Division I school, man, and not knowing that the kid will have to sit out again if he did that, and the fact that that Division I school probably still wouldn't even, you know, be okay with him transferring there. So, again, those were some things, those were some logistics that he didn't know about. But, again,
exactly.
Those are unrealistic, those are what I call unrealistic expectations. Because, again, as a parent, you're supposed to think the world of your child. That's one of the reasons you're a parent. You're supposed to always keep your child encouraged and do everything you can to boost their self-esteem. But you still have to be a realist. You still have to be a realist, okay? Hey, just because this other kid over here is getting letters from Arkansas or getting offered by Miami, et cetera, it doesn't mean your son is. It doesn't mean your son's going to get that same offer. Hey, my thing is, if I don't see it on film, I can't help you. Okay, not as far as exactly. Making sure that schools like Michigan State, Miami, UCLA, USC, et cetera, know about you, okay? Because, again, I don't care what you did at a big-name, you know, camp or what you did in 7-on-7, if I don't see it on film, hey, it's not going to happen, okay? As far as me saying, okay, UCLA, Arizona, they got to know about you, okay? So, again,
exactly.
That's just my that's my little two cents on unrealistic expectations. So go ahead and give us your thing.
Well, you know, like when I first started my recruiting program, I kind of wanted to do something different. I wanted to target, like I said again, the true underdogs. So I really didn't have a lot of egos. I more had kids that were really blessed that they got an opportunity. I'm used to finding my kid their senior year, 13th hour, right before signing day or right after signing day. They don't believe in anyone because my coach couldn't do it. How could you come in and help me? We don't know you from Adam. So, again, I haven't gotten that many parents with unrealistic expectations. Now, we all know the parent or the parents who see the kids that are getting offers from around Austin and they think, oh, well, my son runs faster than he did, so why they're not offering my son? I just want parents to look at this. We're dealing with a college, a recruiting coordinator, a program. I suggest they ask whomever, what's your recruiting philosophy? Therefore, there's no butting heads from the parent. There's no butting heads from the recruiter like myself, like yourself. Because I tell people what my recruiting philosophy is. I tell them how I attract new coaches. I'm not a mailbox pusher. I respect anybody's game, but I don't just send emails to people 1,000 at a time, 2,000 at a time, because I was in a Division I huddle. I've heard my coaches in a meeting say, I'm tired of getting emails from this company. I mean, parents, imagine how many thousands of kids are getting their mamas and daddies to email University of Texas. How many of those emails, said Jim, are truly going to get looked at by coach? You have to find someone that has an in. Parents need to realize themselves being an alumni of a school is more powerful than their high school coach sometimes. Parents need to realize that their cousin that used to play sports and as an alumni from that school is more powerful than their principal at times. Parents need to realize that they need to stay in their lanes and be parents. Now, if you entrust someone like Tony Austin or Greg Padgett, trust us. Trust us to evaluate your child. That's why you always hear myself or TA leaving the option open for junior college. If you or a parent have a disagreement with the level that you think we believe your son or daughter will attend, roll the dice and go back to JUCO. Boost your stock. That's the only real Russian roulette, so to speak, going back to JUCO and boosting your stock. So going back to your question, I really haven't experienced a lot of parents. I've experienced a few. Parents need to realize a college coach knows what they want. It's built on schemes. They might want a Wes Welker-type wide receiver. They might not want a 6'4 wide receiver. They might want a quicker guard that can also play center. You have to ask that staff, what is their philosophy? What kind of athletes do you like? But also don't be afraid to ask Tony Austin or Greg Padgett, what's your recruiting philosophy? Because I guarantee you, I've heard Tony Austin say his recruiting philosophy many times. So I know what he looks for, and I know what to send him when a coach is looking. I know that he don't want the 5-foot-nothing, 100-and-nothing. I know that. He knows that I'll pretty much take anything because if you train with me, I'll get you there. But if you don't know a recruiter's philosophy, you will be alone in the dark. And don't ask the questions, are they interested, are they going to offer me? That turns everybody off. So that's me in a handbasket.
All right. I definitely appreciate that. Now we're going to talk about the thinking that you're bigger or better than what you are. Now, Greg, I know you've come across this before. Okay, as far as with prospects, okay? Now, I had a young man that I was, you know, kind of excited by helping him out. He wasn't there at that level yet, but his potential, he had the height, you know, all that good stuff. Man, I mean, the potential, you know, was there. And I was excited by helping this young man. And he had the temerity to hang up in my face on the phone when I'm reaching out to this kid to try to help him out. So my thing is, okay, whenever a student athlete or parent calls themselves doing that to me, # hand sanitizer. Okay, that means I'm washing my hands. No, you didn't make a mistake. You know what you did. You hung up in my face. Okay, so again, you know, hey, let's just move on. Your name won't be in any of my lists. Okay, so again, and besides, I mean, the kid, like I said, he had potential, but he wasn't there just yet. Okay, so you still got a ways to go. All right, So when you hang up in my face or this, you know, Coach Greg Padgett, you just don't realize how much harder you're making your situation, okay, if you're not already that guy that's just got all the schools jockeying, all the Division I schools, okay? So you're making your plight a little bit tougher than it can be. Keep that in mind. I come across kids all the time. Like one kid, a young man, running back, longest run from scrimmage was like 20 yards, and he was asking me, if I had heard from any D1 schools about him, and I was like, "Oh man, did you just really ask me that question?" Division I. Well, anyway, the young man, he got offered by Upper Iowa. This is almost 10 years ago. So again, I'm giving y'all the rap sheet for a 10-year plus period. So young man got a scholarship offer to Upper Iowa. They still like because he did possess a good spin move, so they offered him a scholarship. He let family members, again, who's never been involved in the recruiting process, nor played collegiate sports themselves, he let family members get in his head and say, hey, well, you know what? Once you go to Fort Scott Junior College, once you sign with them since they want your home, but they want your teammate that's the old lineman, they said they'll take you as well. Now, mind you, they really want the old lineman. I mean, that dude, he was that guy. They really wanted him. And this old lineman decided to sign with another JUCO. So this kid let his family get in his head, the running back, and ended up signing with Fort Scott instead. Well, Fort Scott, in the middle of that summer, supposedly, they didn't have enough money to give him. Okay, surprise, surprise. Okay, did you really think they was going to – exactly. Did you – with all the other big-time running backs that had D1 offers, they had to go to junior college that Fort Scott went after, did you really think you was a priority for them? Okay, so again, make a long story short, you know, he missed out on the D2 offer that he had, that he was blessed to get, but because of a pipe dream that other family members gave him. So anyway, Greg, your turn.
Yes, to go back to what you said earlier, I think the biggest thing is having a young man that might have relatives who are junior high coaches or junior varsity coaches or Du Bois on the varsity level. It doesn't matter. Giving them misinformation, telling them, well, you know, if I had your film, I would have sent it here or there or everywhere. But why didn't you do that when they were a freshman or a sophomore? A lot of parents, and again, you're supposed to believe in your child, but you have to have an open-ended relationship. And again, maybe that's why I work from the bottom up. JUCO, D3, NF, we for sure see a D1 player. A D1 player is getting letters, offers, looks well before the middle of their senior year. They know about you, unless you just have nobody at all doing anything for you, which we've seen. But, yes, I've had several parents who have thought that their kids were superstars and wanted to invest in the program. Here, again, is the reason why my program is valued, and I just don't take everybody. I'm not going to recruit a 5'9", 130-pound fullback. I have to be honest with his parents and himself and tell him his options. You looking at D3, NAIA, maybe go to JUCO and hopefully hit a growth spurt. You know, I'm not trying to say that you can't go D1, but that's going to be on you and your parents' dime. At the same time, if a kid gives me a list and they have 4 D1s on there and they want me to try it, I've had kids that have had the height, 6'3", 6'2", wide receivers, but they don't understand for Division I, stats is the game. You can't be a wide receiver and have under 200 yards receiving in a season and expect to be a heavily recruited athlete. You can't be a running back. I'm just saying, you can't be a running back and fumble once every other game and be expected to be recruited by Division I. You can't be a 6'7 lineman and have a 1.4 GPA begging your parent to take you to the Rice and Tulsa camp. Why? You're not going to get into that school academically. You wasted how much money? So, again, yes, unrealistic expectations. That just comes from people that are not used to having realistic conversations. If we have more realistic conversations and stop looking at the daddy who is living his dreams through his child, we all can get along better in the recruiting game.
All right. Woo. Folks, I hope you out there listening. I hope you out there listening. Hey. Again, we're just being 100% genuine tonight. Everything is authentic from what we're telling you based on our experience, okay? And we talk with other guys in the recruiting game that come through some of the same things. So believe me, there's nothing new underneath the sun, just like it says in Scripture. So, again, we're going to keep this thing rolling, but let's go to a commercial and hear from one of our sponsors. All right, we seem to be having some technical difficulties tonight, but we're going to go ahead and keep the show moving. Go ahead and keep it moving here. Whew. Man, Greg, well, this is these are some interesting topics we'll be covering tonight.
Most definitely. I do agree with you on that, sir.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's go on to our next topic. All right. Parents feeling validated. Parents all of a sudden feeling validated. Now, let me be specific. Let me be thorough with how I explain this. As most of y'all know that follow my blog, syntexfootballscoop.blogspot.com, I take pride in myself on blogging about prospects, rating and ranking prospects. If I've been rating and ranking your son for a long time, talking about how good he is and how he is a prospect that's probably going to most likely play at the Division I level, that means in most cases it's probably going to happen. Okay, it's probably going to happen. I mean, I've been at this game for 10-plus years, maybe about 15 years, okay? But again, like I said, all the things that I've learned by talking to college coaches, asking them the things that they look for in prospects, okay? So I don't copy other people's ideas. I talk to the actual decision makers. What upsets me, Greg, is when parents, specific parents, not all parents, but these specific parents, that all of a sudden, when someone that they see on High School Football Live on Fox Sports Southwest, a popular scout, or on 24/7 Rivals.com, Scout.com, start all of a sudden writing about their kid, then they want to post it all on Facebook, but they won't even, you know, share or repost what I just said about their son months earlier. Okay, so as if what I said isn't validated, isn't enough substance for what Robert was going to say about him. Okay, meaning that, okay, my son must be really that good if Robert.com is talking about him. Well, T.A. told you that, you know, several months ago, and I'm gonna be a little bit more specific, Greg. I only get this mainly from parents who happen to be black. Okay, so again, that I don't know why that mechanism exists, but again, it tends to be parents who happen to be black that often either question whether or not I know what I'm talking about, or again, feeling that just because they heard it from Rivals.com, then it must be legit. All right, Greg, you go ahead.
Oh, excuse me. Basically, I get the same thing, and I started off this when I was a social worker for the school district. I had my recruiting program at a bare minimum price for time and effort purposes. I went from having people look at me and shun the nose up to why is it so cheap to what's the catch? Do you know how it feels to be having a buffet of opportunity for a child and then to have a parent turn around and look at you like stranger danger and ask what's the catch? 2 months ago, your child had nothing but lonely teardrops. I get a huddle film. A week later, they have 5 opportunities, maybe a little bit of scholarship money mixed in there. But opportunity is the name of the game. And after that, then they start to believe for a long time until they sign on that dotted line or until they find someone, one of their friends who's training with someone else who might have went to a university that's more prevalent than yours. And then they all go start training together. Birds of a feather flock together. Then they forgot about where it all started. I constantly remind my family, future All-Stars family, FAS family, I constantly remind them, please don't remember where you were. I've heard the teardrops. I've heard the, man, my coach didn't do this, my coach didn't do that. I try to tell kids and parents all the time, your coach ain't your mom and daddy. It's not in their job description to get you a scholarship. It's in their job description to keep their job the next year. So with that being said, I've kind of got a nickname for it for my athletes. Coach Terrence Hunter and I call it the signing day syndrome. Kids are gung-ho. They call you 3 times a day. They knock on your door. They up early. They grinding hard until they get that opportunity, until they sign on the dotted line, and then they want to party. They want the fame, but I don't know if they want the grind. And again, this is not every child. This is only a certain few. They want to sign, but then from February, first week in February, to 2 weeks before June when they got a report, they null and void. They trying to holler at every female they can before they leave campus. They trying to holler at every one of their friends before they leave town. They trying to say hi to every relative before they go bye-bye. So when do they got time for you? And it's sickening and disheartening to bust your heart, to bust your passion for a young man or a young woman. And then on Silent Day, they giving it up to everybody in the world, including that football staff that they was crying about that did not help them. You are left out in the cold. What people don't need to realize is, if you go to Mr. Getty's and you love their pizza, you gonna tell your homeboys how good Mr. Getty's pizza was. If you go to Pizza Hut, you gonna tell your homeboys how good Pizza Hut pizza was. If you go to Dairy Queen and they got a roach in your food, you gonna put it on. Found in my food at Dairy Queen. Why come you can't do that for future All-Stars or TA Central Texas? Why come you can't do that for anybody that has helped you? It don't matter if it's the barber. Give them props. Kids these days are afraid to give props because their parents are afraid to give props. And our people are afraid and too prideful to say thank you. I have helped numerous amounts of black kids. I have helped numerous amounts of kids and told them, I will help you out and do something and put you on a grant, but you've got to come and volunteer X amount of hours for me in my organization. Come read some books to some of the kids in my summer camp. Come put on your football jersey and take pictures to my kids so they'll know I know this football player. Come over here and do this and do that. I'm helping you get an opportunity, but you can't come back and help me grow mine. I'm helping you grow your business, which is your football, which is your, you know, your vehicle that the Lord gave you. I'm helping you grow that, but how come you can't help me grow mine? So I've had to spend my last 2 years on preaching to kids and parents about the benefits of why everyone in Austin, Texas needs to know that you're training with future All-Stars. Because when a coach calls me or calls TA and says, I didn't know this kid was a future All-Star. Coach, we would have offered him 3 months ago if I would have known that he and he and he all train together. So what, they go to Maynard, Hutto, and Connolly? We've been recruiting all of them separately. If we would have known that they all trained with you or they all came to TA's combine, we could have just came and hollered at you. People are being so quiet about who they train with unless there are a couple of letters and a couple of T-shirt warriors, as my boy Tony Austin, TA, likes to say. So what, someone is giving you a T-shirt to attend a camp? You going to walk around with a T-shirt? I've been giving out hoodies, T-shirts. I ain't seen no hoodie or T-shirt online. I ain't seen nobody lifting weights in my future All-Star shirt. And I got several of them that I've gotten scholarships that are worth over $15,000. So if they listen to me right, I'm putting you on blast.
Hey, you know, Greg, that's funny you say that. And let me plug this in here again. Remember, parents, student-athletes, this is not talking about every single parent or every single student-athlete. No, that would be untruthful and unfair, okay? But we're talking about those specific parents and student-athletes, those specific student-athletes that fall under these umbrellas we're talking about as it relates to the negative issues that we've encountered in this time of recruiting. The parents and student-athletes, again, that have given their wholehearted support. Hey, we appreciate you. We love you. We're definitely going to make sure that we continue to build on this theme just with that positive energy that you all transfer over to us. Okay, so again,
most definitely.
Make sure, don't get it twisted. This is not talking about every single specific parent or student athlete, but the ones that we're talking about, oh, I know it's feeling like a dagger, okay? It's feeling like a dagger right now. Which brings me to the next point, Greg, since you kind of already kind of delved into it a little bit. Betrayal. Two situations I'm going to talk about. Two situations. And they come from student-athlete and family. So trust me, this is, you know, very, very, you know, disturbing. Now, man, I got certain student-athletes that graduated high school 10 years ago that still call me, text me, tell me happy birthday, the ones that really, really appreciate what I did for them. And, man, I thank God, you know, four people like that. Well, for instance, about, let's say, 6-7 years ago, there was this big-time running back prospect, made national news, made well, all American. Okay. Well, you know, I had already put this young man's name out there, and you know, he got like a whole lot of offers. Well, another person who I guess had to come in one up, you know, this person's name ended up making national news for all the wrong reasons, of course. This other person that came in to feel like he had to one up me, but he started flying this kid all over America and sending him to all these different camps and all these different unofficial visits, blah, 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 blah. So it got to the point where whenever I talked to the kid, okay, man, I see that, you know, you done picked up such and such and such and such offer as well. So, I mean, which schools do you like? And he was acting like he didn't want to tell me. And it's like, okay, are you not – you don't remember that I was the initial party that got your name out there to begin with? Okay, so we'll forgive that situation and we'll move on. Long story short, he signs on signing day, okay? Not going to name the school that he signed with. But on signing day, I show up because back then I would show up and take pictures of the prospects that I helped, you know, get recruited. He comes up to me and asks me, what am I doing there? And I'm just like, I'm here to see you and whoever else signed that I helped, you know, that I helped get recruited. He's like, well, just don't take pictures of me, you know, because I don't want you to be using my picture on whatever. And I'm like, okay, wow. Man, hey, you know what? You need to go ahead and just enjoy your signing, dude, because you're really sounding real foolish right now. You're sounding real foolish, yourself and real foolish. Well, to make a long story short, because he had did such and such with the guy that came in flying them all over America, his name ended up getting run in the mud. But, you know, he took the high road with the NCAA and was able to get himself protected. Okay? So, again, like I said, you know, T.A. did nothing, you know, T.A. did nothing but build this kid up. But he goes with another guy, turns his back on me and goes with another guy that ends up, you know, getting his name mentioned for all the wrong reasons. Okay? Second situation. Young man, undersized prospect. Undersized. Man, Greg, I did nothing but praise this kid because I love that he had a lot of dogfight in him and had a lot of speed. Well, you know, we tried everything we could to get him, you know, offers for track, football, whatever, you know, as far as promoting his name, giving him exposure. Well, I don't know whatever misunderstanding took place, but I do know his parents, they were so grateful for the things that I did. And all of a sudden, he gets offered a track scholarship. And they, after telling me that they want me to attend the signing, and for all you parents out there, I don't have to attend signings, okay? I stopped doing that a long time ago, just so you know, okay? So I'm not offended if you don't invite me. Okay, let me speak that first, okay? Again, but anyway, they invited me, and I thought about attending, but I was kind of already stuck in my ways that I probably wouldn't attend. Well, anyway, when I asked them, okay, well, when is the signing? Nobody's answering their phone. Nobody's inboxing me or whatever. So I'm like, okay, what's going on? So to my chagrin, they put up his picture of his signing picture, not even telling me where the kid was going to sign. After I did all that I did to put the kid's name out there, they didn't even tell me the school that he was going to sign with. Okay, so again, that's betrayal in its finest hour. All right? That is betrayal. All right, so let that be known before you even conjure up such an idea that betrayal is very low. Okay? It's very low, and it's definitely hard to forgive. I'm a Christian man, so I'm gonna forgive the situation. However, we can never do business again. Okay, that's how deep betrayal runs. All right, so again, Greg, I'm gonna let you go ahead and further expound.
Well, again, I'm very blessed that in the future All Stars family, the Fast family, established team and family. One person run, we all run. I've been invited to a lot of signing days. I haven't been invited to a few, but I've been in, I guess it was a good blessing to have, you know, that I was invited to more than one signing day. And sometimes coaches put signings at the same time. This year kind of hurt my heart because I wasn't able to get to two different schools that I wanted to. I've been putting a lot of stock into the boys at Hutto and the boys at Maynard High this year, and I had a plethora of boys that signed. my thing is, and this is also touching back on, you know, our African-American family, our African-American brothers and sisters, is helping a young man or young woman out and with a promise to pay and parents wanting to put something on it. This is not the light bill. I had to start a payment plan because I understand that it's expensive, but it's an investment. Those things are withering away. I have been burned numerous times by kids who have gotten me to conjure them up opportunity. Three or four coaches start emailing and calling. The recruiting trail comes on, and next thing you know, they're off to school and haven't paid the recruiting exposure and program bill. Things like that. I've even experienced kids that have actually had parents that have told me over and over again, come shake my hand, coach, we gonna get with you. I just got to do this, FYZ. We just adopted somebody. We just did this. We feeding the homeless, whatever it may be. I've had a parent that have said that. Come to find out, they go and invest on totally rival recruiting program that is not here in Austin. That is so nationwide. Parents, stop investing in recruiting programs where you cannot talk to someone physically or have them come to your house or you go to their house. If someone is sending you a letter that says your name and your son's name ran across my desk, I can print off 5,000 of those letters on Future All-Stars letterhead, and I can make your heart feel good and send you out a letter that says, oh, you've been spotted by your coach saying that you're going to be a top recruit next year. If that's all it takes to get money, but I don't want kids like that. I don't want kids that don't have a fire and desire. And that's the reason why I'm training and recruiting and changing my recruiting program standards, where if I am not training for you, I can't recruit for you, because huddle films sometimes lie. We don't know when that kid. So when I talk about betrayal, I'm talking about betrayal of a huddle film. I'm talking about betrayal of a kid who's either invested in a recruiting program and not working out, or working out with someone who's not going as hard as I am. Because I know when my kids go to camp, the coaches speak volumes. So, yes, I really haven't had a lot of kids or parents that have betrayed on the side there. But when it comes to not wanting to pay for training, not wanting to pay for the exposure program, yes, people do stop coming because – pride. I'm not the rent man. I'm trying to help your child, you know, and that's one thing that a lot of people need to understand is you can't go into Nike and buy some Jordans with your smile. So stop trying to do that for things that you truly need to invest in for your children. This is also right. Education. It's just collegiate life skills education.
Hey, and Greg, and for the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and get on our last topic, but I appreciate the way you broke that down. But our last topic, making your college decision. Now, one thing that upsets me, aside from being happy, of course I'm happy it further feeds my natural high when I see a young man sign to the school he's going to attend the next 4 years, or in some cases for junior college, the next 2 years. I mean, that feeds my natural high. There's nothing to me in life, sports related, that's more beautiful than seeing a kid being able to go into that next chapter of his life by way of using sports as a vehicle, okay, to Amen. Further attain the education. But the thing that upsets me is all this being afraid to go far away from home, which messes with both my reputation, messes with your reputation of us being able to get kids' names out there, because college coaches, again, they call us. They call Greg. They call me. They call us a lot looking for kids. And the ones that are out of state, sometimes they start backing off, and they be like, man, well, we can trust Texas kids, man, because they be too scared to leave home. Now, mind you, I got a young man that basically was afraid to go to a junior college in Minnesota. Okay, and he'd rather just sit home all day or go to one of the local community colleges and not play sports than go to this junior college in Minnesota that could help him be able to further his education and also continue to keep balling, right? I mean, hey, I'm sorry you didn't get more offers, but this is what's on the table. See, a lot of times we see a lot of these prospects fronting on social media, talking all this about being hungry, hashtag eat, but all of a sudden you start acting anorexic when it's time to make a college decision, okay?
And just like the other one say, everybody want to be a beast until it's time to do what real beasts do.
Exactly.
There
exactly.
It is.
So I'm sorry. If you're not that dude that's got Texas, that's got LSU, that's got Danium and all these other schools in the Southwest, Southeast region looking at you, hey, man. Or if you don't have any opportunity to go to school in the Southwest region in general or stay in state, hey, you got to do something else. If you're still trying to play ball, okay, if you're still trying to go to school to play ball, you got to do something else. You got to be open to something else. All right, so stop with all the whining, man. Please miss me with all the whining. Oh, it's too far from home. But yet it's still in the Killeen area where I've helped a lot of kids in the past. You have a kid that would rather join the military than go to a school far away, you know, if they don't have opportunity to stay close to home. Okay, they'll join the military. Do you really do? Now, unless you join the Air Force, okay, you're going to do your basic training at Lackland in San Antonio, okay? But you do realize that your first duty assignment might be in Germany or somewhere, so that's a lot farther than Minnesota, North Dakota. That's a lot farther than California, okay? So keep that in mind. Please remember that, all right? So go ahead and suck it up, man. Suck it up. Please suck it up and just make a wise decision, okay? I mean, if you get the opportunity to stay in state, hey, God bless you. I'm happy for you, okay? But if you're one of those prospects where you got little or no options, hey, man, hey, make your decision, be happy with it, and then grow while you're in your temporary situation that you're going to be gone 2 or 4 years, okay? It's only 2 or 4 years. I mean, if you go to junior college, 2 years. I mean, if you're going to a four-year school or college, university, of course, it's only 4 years, okay? 4 years go by really fast, all right? I'm wondering with some of these kids, if they happen to make it to the NFL, are you going to turn down playing for the Green Bay Packers just because it's far away from Texas? I mean, seriously.
Wow.
Okay?
That was a big one.
All right. Okay. All right. All right.
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this. That was a great thing to say, because most of my student athletes' parents know that 75% of my recruiting comes out of the state of Texas. I played junior college football in California, was a very highly touted wide receiver and high jumper, and I saw the beautiful recruiting. I was scared. I was a scared little country boy. I remember back in the late 90s, gangs was horrible, period. But then in Cali, coming from Texas, I was like, oh, man, what's going on? But going out there, seeing the media hype, and seeing the 6'4 wide receiver and taking 5 Division I recruiting trips, you can't beat it. So kids and parents don't understand that my words are coming from experiences. I'm not only the president, but I'm also was a client type thing. And it scares me, and it makes me cringe that a young man is going to stay at home rather than venturing out into the world, seeing something and coming back to support his community or his family. 2015, I had 5 young men that were about to sign with Ellsworth Community College. I had one young man in particular that had trained with me for almost 2 years. Blood, sweat, and tears. 3 days a week, grinding hard. Hardly ever paying for training, but I knew he wanted to go to school. His senior year came. He hurt himself before his senior year, so it was hard for him to get back. He was a very low exposure and recruit. Got a lot of people that wanted him to come in for invited walk-ons. I believe my man T.A. got him a look at Grambling and didn't want to go to an all-black HBCU. We can respect that. This was a young black man, but he didn't want to do that. We can respect that. I sent his film to Ellsworth Community College. They offered him what the Iowa junior colleges can offer as a full ride, which I believe is tuition and fees and books. And he turned it down. Now, before I start with the recruiting process with all my families, I asked them where they have relatives. And if you got relatives in Virginia, there might be a college somewhere close to Virginia where you can wash your clothes. That's my philosophy and formula. I always ask, are you afraid to go out of state? so I know what I'm dealing with. Never got that in 2 years from this young man. He got an offer. He turns it down. We know scholarships offers are only void for anywhere from 10 to 21 days, depending on the conference or the level. He never signed the scholarship papers. Had the head coach and the defensive coordinator calling me 3 times a day because we pretty much had talked to them, and he had been groomed and talked to and ready, and, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. And, all right, this is the plan. Everybody that is recruiting you or wants you to be an invited walk-on, we're going to call them and tell them you're going to Ellsworth. Come offer me. This young man totally quits football and decides to just go be a student at Texas State. My analogy that I used for that parent and for every other parent that just so happens to be listening, if I'm Ed McMahon and I got $20,000 on the table and I tell you, go put it in the bank, or if I got $60,000 over here on the table and I say, go over here and go give that to that university, which table are you going to? The table with the money going in your bank or the table with the money going to the university? I said this to that man's parents, and he told me it's his decision. Parents, hear me now. These are your 1040 income tax returns. This ain't no decision that he or she is going to make by themselves. The financial and FAFSA money that they're using is for your backbone and how much you worked the year before. So it's a team effort. Don't let your child go to school and mess up your good credit, your financial aid, because that's your financial aid until your child is 23. They cannot file on their own. So with that being said, don't let your child go and walk on and be a student and pass up no money. I just saved another young man from wanting to walk on and wait and see if I can go D1 when he has a full ride off of the Arkansas Monticello. Why? His daddy can't get financial aid because he makes too much money. So parents need to realize and wake up. It is not a solo decision by these kids. They are not mature enough to go out and drive to these colleges by themselves. So don't make the decision of what college they're going to go to by themselves. Those are your tax forms.
Greg, and let me say this, and I appreciate, man, I sure appreciate you mentioned that part, because another story, a young man 5-6 years ago, because he wanted to one-up one of his teammates, the offer that he had he didn't think was good enough. So he chose to walk on to Tulsa University of all places, a private school that's extremely expensive. He chose to walk on there and put his parents in severe debt by sending him there, taking out all kind of loans just to be able to afford. Well, long story short, yeah, he has a Tulsa degree, but he never earned a scholarship and didn't play one down the whole time he was there. Oh, he was on the team, all right. His name was on the roster and everything, but the most playing time he got, I think, was maybe in spring practice.
Wow.
So again,
I mean, and I like to tell our parents, please don't waste money, and I don't like to use waste, but if you don't know how your child is going to socially grow at a university, why are you going to pay thousands and thousands and thousands, upwards of $10,000 to $15,000, when you can have them go to a junior college and pay $5,000 to $8,000? I mean, put them on an extended credit application. We're going to see what you can do right here. Some of our kids from Texas, they would be better served at a smaller school. A lot of them got the D1 dream, but when they get on that big campus and bright lights, man, they can't handle all that pressure. They can't handle being a student athlete with the microscope underneath them. So, parents, you need to be more involved, and you need to be more invested.
Mm-hmm. All right. Man, Greg, man, I definitely appreciate you coming on the show. But like I told you before you started the show, man, they got this 30 for 30 coming on with Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry, and you and I both were laughing and talking earlier saying, if you're a black kid growing up in the 80s that happened to like anything about baseball, you want to be Doc Gooden or Daryl Strawberry, okay, as far as
my brother was Doc, and I was Strawberry, because my brother was the pitcher. And it, like I told you earlier, if you could hit, you was Frank Thomas. If you was short and chunky, you was Kirby Puckett. If you was fast, you was Ricky Henderson. Everybody had a nickname for somebody that played baseball.
That's right.
Well, P.A., well, yeah, I appreciate you for having me on the show, man. I really appreciate you very much. We need to do this a little bit more often.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. And parents and student athletes, again, for those of you all we definitely appreciate those of y'all who show your endless support. I mean, seriously, because we enjoy having that. We need that. We need that endless support. That we need that energy, I should say, from your endless support. Okay, so definitely, we definitely appreciate the parent student athletes who do that. The ones who have these bizarre mentalities that we talked about tonight, you got to change it up, parents, student athletes. You got to change it up. Because, again, T.A. and Greg were starting to use the hashtag hand sanitizer with those that refused to change those mentalities. Okay? And I'm starting to use it sooner than later. All right? So keep that in mind.
And don't be afraid to ask about the recruiting philosophy. Don't just assume T.A. and Coach Greg are a certain way because you've been burned. When you assume, what do, T.A.? You make an ass out of you and me. So come on, ask us what our recruiting philosophy is before you pass us by. Thank you, T.A.
Right. All right. All right, folks. You guys be safe out there. There's a lot going on in the world. But, again, we got football season coming up. Keep yourselves well hydrated. And always remember where you get the legit football recruiting scoop from in Central Texas. Be blessed and take care. I'm good.